an airline passenger's bill of rights. We're making progress, or are we? I'm Paul Plank, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. And we're here to talk about a few things that have happened since we last talked with Kate. Kate, welcome in.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but then I don't fly much.
Yeah, I do.
Kate, since we talked last, I have had occasion to go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for EAA Air Venture, and to Mentone, Indiana for the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention and fly-in, and a couple of other stops along the way. And I drove the whole way this year. Not because necessarily I'm boycotting the airlines, but just because I decided there are some downsides to that form of travel that I was going to do without this summer.
Well, that's a smart move, and a lot of people are making that choice. It has become grueling out there for the flying public, and fascinatingly enough, I'm getting a lot of interviews from on the radio from people like yourself who have had horrifying airline experiences, and they want to find out what's going on now because, you know, they don't want it to happen again. And all summer, this summer, especially since we started our hotline, which is toll free, 877-FLYERS-6, we're getting calls from the flying public as they're stuck on the aircraft. And we're actually gathering statistics that the government doesn't gather regarding diverted and canceled flights that have been sitting on the tarmac for a length of time. And it is staggering, the difference in the numbers that we are going to see by the end of the year that we will be able to prove sat on the tarmac as compared to what the government reports.
Well, the government doesn't even collect data for flights that are diverted, for one thing.
And that's correct.
And that has not changed.
No. And the ATA just came out with a statement saying that they don't think the airlines should, that it would cost them too much money and they might have to do it manually. And they've now taken a stand that accurate data is not important to the public.
Okay.
I'll tell you something else. I had a meeting with the Department of Transportation a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. with the Inspector General's office and Dobbs' office, who is the enforcement office, and the Deputy General Counsel and the Inspector General both looked me in the eyeballs and said that none of the consumer service agreements, the contracts of carriage for any major airline, are enforceable.
Hmm.
None of them. And so, they even put it in writing.
That's remarkable. Well, let me ask you specifically about the legislation. It's attached to the provisions you had been seeking were attached to House Resolution 2881, which is the one that we in the general aviation community hope will be the version of FAA reauthorization that gets passed, because obviously the user fee issue is not part of that.
Right.
But the language that you had sought for a passenger's bill of rights was left pretty much intact, except for what you considered the most important point.
Almost. There are a number of things that Mike Thompson wrote in his bill that we would like to have seen in the FAA reauthorization bill, but the primary one is deplanement, mm-hmm. some form of deplanement. Now, as time has gone on, we understand that there are issues at different airports that create complexities, and we understand that this is not necessarily a simple issue. However, it is incomprehensible to all of us in the coalition, which is over 17,000 people now, plus all the consumer groups, plus the doctor's company, plus the United flight attendants and pilots, that they can hold you indefinitely, that there's no cutoff point. So in our opinion, there's no excuse for Congress not either having Secretary Mary Peters mandate a rule and say this is what they determine is possible for deplanement,
mm-hmm.
or having the airlines clearly declare when they will deplane people. Now, we've looked at their proposed plans that they have submitted to Barbara Boxer and Olympia Snow's office,
mm-hmm.
as requested after the markup, and none of those proposed plans are enforceable. they hint at deplanement, but none of them are enforceable, similar to the current contracts of carriage. So, you know, it's all meaningless. There's nothing that's going to affect the passengers getting off the planes at this point. And if it's what people want, then they need to call their congressmen and their senators, and they need to get into action.
Well, now, you had a little difference of opinion on how much was left of this that was of use after the deplanement portion was removed between yourself and California Representative Mike Thompson. He seemed to take great umbrage to the fact that you thought it had been gutted. And, you know, obviously, I guess congressmen, when they get something that even halfway gets accomplished, want to look at it as an achievement on their own part.
I think that both of us are probably right. I think him, with more experience in Congress, probably sees this as a huge win, because it is so difficult to get anything with the commercial airlines lobby being so large.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting essential needs is probably a huge win in his eyes. In my eyes, as a layman, and not having done something like this before, and having been through an event that I don't ever want to repeat again, and now me being the one that is personally taking the calls from all these hotline calls, you know, people that are being stuck and who have, you know, disabled people who are in distress, I think that deplanement is a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it. And I think that absent deplanement, I don't think we've won.
Okay. We're talking with Kate Hanai, who is the founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Kate, when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of very specific things that have been in the news since we talked last and get your comments on them, if that's all right.
That's terrific.
I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plank. My guest today is Kate Hanai, the founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Kate, since we talked last, which has been about a month, there have been a couple of very specific things in the news I wanted to ask you about. One was Continental Flight 1669, on July 29th, which involved another lengthy stranding.
Yes, and that was a diversion for which no time on the tarmac would be counted by the government, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So last Wednesday, I wake up, I go down to my computer, and there's this file from someone who emailed our Flyers' Rights website. And I opened it up, and there's pictures of Homeland Security boarding an aircraft, people revolting, a letter to Continental Airlines, and a story that was just about as horrifying a story as I've heard. Almost everything you've heard about in all the different strandings collapsed into one stranding event. These people had come in from Caracas, Venezuela. They were diverted out of Newark airspace, told it was the weather. When they called their family members in Newark, their family said that the weather was fine in Newark, so there was a discrepancy there.
Hold on just a moment, Kate. I forgot to disable call waiting. There's one trying to come in.
I heard that.
Okay, when you heard that first gap, just pick up that last sentence about their they called
family
their families.
Members?
Yeah.
So when the flight crew told the passengers that there was bad weather and they were going to have to divert, which is exactly like what happened to us in Austin, the passengers started calling their family members in Newark and saying, what's going on with the weather? And they're saying, it's sunny. there's no wind, no rain.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a discrepancy between what they were being told and what was, you know, probably the truth. And so anyway, they were put down in Baltimore, Maryland, which is an international airport. And they were sitting and sitting and sitting in a similar manner to what happened with our flight, on a ramp, not ready to go anywhere, and being told that they could not deplane because of security issues. However, this is an international airport. They do have the ability to deplane people there. And so finally, after about the fifth hour, the passengers went up to the flight attendants very nicely and said, you know, if you don't allow us off this plane, we're going to revolt.
Mm-hmm.
And the flight attendant said, we understand. And so what they did, their revolt was, and there was one gentleman, and I can say his name, Israel, who actually was having a conversation with several people saying, maybe we should try to set the Guinness Book of World Records for stranding since we've been here so long and just stay on the plane, which I think is a whole new idea.
Well, right? But if there's no record kept of how long these diversions are kept on strandings, it would be kind of hard to document the record.
It would be their word against ours. But there are a couple of ways that we can show that, as long as we have the information immediately through the ATC recordings, which we can get, but those disappear in about 45 days. So what happened is they banged on the baggage bins, and they clapped their hands, and we've got photos of that happening. And then one woman took an 18-second video, and you can hear the noise, and the baby's screaming, and she's going, why can't we just go to Newark? So then Homeland Security comes on the plane with a local police officer, and they negotiate with the passengers to sit down for 5 minutes. Passengers sit down for 5 minutes, so the photo you see really looks like the big, ugly Homeland Security guy
with their tactile
passengers, right? And then there's a local police officer in the background. Well, he sees the pregnant woman who's nearly passed out and the diabetic who is passed out, and he freaks out, and he says, I've got to get you guys off this plane.
Mm-hmm.
I see something's very wrong here. This shouldn't be happening, not in the U.S., not anywhere. And so he negotiates with Homeland Security to take them into a quote-unquote sterile room. They take them into this room with attack dogs, 5 security officers, and they give them a large box full of potato chips and water. And I've got photos of that.
Oh, wow.
The box full of potato chips. I mean, it's just, absurdity after absurdity. It's hard to tell these stories and not just go, do you believe it?
Yeah.
And so anyway, some of the stories are saying they eventually got to their destination. It was my understanding from Carolyn Murray, who's been in the news and who I originally spoke to, that half of them stayed the night there in Baltimore and half of them went on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the newspapers have reported slightly different stories. So I've been in direct contact with a number of them, and even today I'm in contact with a number of them. There were record company presidents on this plane. There were all kinds of wild, fun people that want to get involved, that are very much wanting to be involved with our coalition, and they thought that there was already a passenger bill of rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something being talked about on the plane. They said, we thought there already was one. And we were kept asking them, how come you aren't compelled by law to let us off this plane? And they said, oh, no, we don't have to let you off this plane. And the other thing is, this morning I read in the Washington Post an article that was very well written, except for the fact that it implied that this law that we're looking at in the FAA reauthorization bill has deplanement in it, and it doesn't. So there is some misreporting going on. People need to know that right now we have no deplanement in this law, and if they want it and it's important to them not to be held indefinitely, they've got to get into action. Call us, email us at flyersrights.org, call their congressmen, call their senators, fax them. Get into action, because this is a tough, tough animal to take down. Like I said, it's like the elephant in the living room that you got to take down with a tranquilizer dart and get control of it, because this is very serious.
Well, now, one of the things that has come up in the recent press coverage of this is statements within the airline industry, not only from industry people, but from regulators who say, you know, if we do get a mandatory deployment standard, this is going to be a real case of you'll be sorry that you asked for it, because what will happen to airline schedules when these mandatory deployments start being imposed is that it'll cascade delays throughout the whole system. Airlines will have to cancel entire flights preemptively in order to make sure these don't happen, and it will inconvenience more travelers than are inconvenienced now. How do you respond to that?
Well, that is their excuse, because they don't want legislation. What the airlines are doing right now is they're overbooking the number of flights per time slot. If they have a real popular time slot, let's say hypothetically 8 o'clock in the morning at Newark, and it can hold 20 flights, they're booking 50. And then there's not enough gates to handle them at the arriving destinations. Now, I'll tell you, Atlanta just did a brilliant thing. Atlanta, the largest airport in the world, just approved 5 buses to go out and get people off the taxiways out of the planes, because they've had so many stranding events. And they're going to be going out, taking them, and they said it'll only take 5 minutes to get them off the planes and get them into the airport and then onto their connecting flights and on their way. I think I read this morning that LAX is about to approve something based on what happened this weekend. They're looking at something very similar. So I think you're going to start seeing the airports and the airlines are going to have to work together to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And something I hadn't thought of before about the airports providing buses, but I think that may be one way of managing this that is possible, such that if someone is out on the tarmac for 7 hours and they've already missed whatever event it is they're going to, they should be given the option of getting off the plane.
Right.
And not going. And that happens to a lot of people. Or if you're a mother with your children and you can't contain them, or you're running out of resources, whatever your issue is, there are a lot of people with issues that really should be allowed off the plane after a certain period of time. So there has to be some accommodation, and we just need to figure out what that is.
Well, Kate, on behalf of airline travelers everywhere, let me be the one to tell you I think that we're fortunate to have someone looking out for us who has your commitment and stamina. I know this is probably, there are days it probably seems this has ruined your life.
I wouldn't say it's ruined it. I'd say it's fulfilled it.
Oh, okay.
I would say that getting calls and letters from people thanking me is the most fulfilling thing that I've ever had happen.
Well, it has at least interrupted your career as a real estate broker.
Yeah, well, I have no money.
Yeah.
I have no income other than my husband. And I was the primary income for my family, but my husband is picking up and getting into gear with his new company. And I have all the faith in the world that I will be able to continue on with this. I made a commitment. When I came out in the national news and said, I won't give up on this, I promise I will see this through until it's done. And I meant it. And whether it took 2 weeks or, you know, 10 years, I will make sure it gets done.
Well, now, define done. Are you thinking that done means having a federal deplanement standard in effect?
Yes.
Okay.
And a few other things. I believe that we've got baggage issue that must be managed, and that's nowhere close to being handled right now. This whole idea that after 90 days your bags go to www.unclaimedbaggage.com,
mm-hmm.
That is also absurd. We get maybe 30% of our calls are baggage-related calls on the hotline, and there's not one person that has not filed a claim
right.
for their bag, and yet they call the website Unclaimed Baggage.
All right, Kate, just a few seconds left. Give us a quick assessment of your current position.
I have to believe that we will get some form of deployment by September 30th. I don't know exactly how it'll look, but we're going back to them with a number of options, and we're saying, look, we're not trying to hamstring the airlines. We're not trying to hurt them financially. We just want to make sure that they can't hold us indefinitely.
So even if it was an 8-hour stipulation, it would be progress?
Well, if it were, at least people could advocate for themselves and decide whether or not they want to fly that airline.
Right.
If it's safe for them. If someone can't tolerate, if they're a paraplegic and they can't tolerate being there for 8 hours, they know in advance.
Well, Kate, we wish
I'm
you...
I'm not advocating for 8 hours.
But, no, no.
But you hear what I'm saying.
I do. Yeah, at least you'd know what you're getting yourself into.
Exactly.
Well, Kate, continued best luck, continued energy and stamina, because it sounds like you'll need it, and please stay in touch.
Thanks. You know I will.
Kate Hanai is the founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. You can find him on the web at www.flyersrights.com. That's flyers spelled F-L-Y-E-R-S. They have a toll-free hotline if you're stranded, 877-FLYERS-6. That's 877-F-L-Y-E-R-S, numeral 6. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero, spelled A-E-R-O-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.